And we are now joined by Adam Schefter. He joins us courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nate in Denver. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to everybody out there.
Happy New Year to you, too. So, Adam, you broke the news last Sunday that Vic Fangio would be back in 2021. My question for you is, could you envision a scenario that he may not get the full 16 next year if the first half of the season maybe doesn't go his way?
I mean, anything's always possible. I don't think they're thinking like that. You know, you're not going into the season thinking, okay, we'll bring back a coach. But if they start out 1-3 or 2-4 or whatever the number is, whatever the record is, they were going to let him go. You're not thinking like that at all. They're basically committed to Vic going forward, and you want to see the organization do well. And if it does well, then there's no issues. If it's not, then obviously everything's always evaluated as it goes along. But again, I don't think that's how they're thinking going into next year at all.
Adam, Nate Jackson here. So I don't know if you remember this, but back in 2003, I was traded here from the Niners in the middle of training camp, and I got here and I was given number 14. And the previous day, number 14 was another receiver. He got cut. And so after practice, the media wanted to talk to me, which I found strange having been in San Francisco and not getting that kind of media attention. But you asked me, you're like, you're wearing number 14. The last two guys to wear 14 here didn't work out so well. Are you worried about that number being cursed?
Well, that was a dumb question back in the day. Obviously, I don't know what would possess me to ask that question, but I'm thinking back to who would have been the two previous 14s.
It was Greasy and then the receiver ahead of me.
You had a nice stay in Denver there, Nate. So you were able to overcome the hex of 14.
Yeah, I broke the curse. But
exactly.
So this announcement that came out about Vic returning for a third year, and he said, "Look, I was under the assumption all along that I'm coming back for a third year." Do you think that was negotiated or talked about at the beginning of all this? Look, I need 3 years to get this thing right.
Not like that. I mean, I think they probably have broad discussions about the organization. But I think that, look, here's the deal. I was on the show last week with D-Mac and Tyler, and they said, is Denver making any changes? And I said, I don't think so, but I don't know that. Like, let me call around. And so they literally had me, I mean, indirectly, they didn't ask me to do it, but I just thought, okay, they asked me. I asked around, and I was told that Vic was safe. Now, what's interesting is, again, when other people have talked about it, and you're always wondering about which organizations are potential spots for change, I mean, Denver's name every now and then would come up. So it wasn't completely out of the question, right? But I don't think anybody thought it was likely to happen. I didn't think anybody thought that Vic was on the verge of losing his job, anything like that. And so when I asked around, I was told, no, there's nothing there. You know, Vic is coming back. He'll be back. Not an issue. Okay, great. So, you know, that becomes, again, the story that comes out. But when they're having those conversations, I don't think that they say, oh, it's going to take 3 years. I think there's a general understanding that there was work to be done on the roster, that there would be time that was needed to get things straight, and that Denver would be patient. Plus, the Broncos are in a situation as an organization where really there's a lot going on at an ownership level, and the last thing you want to do is have more instability and more uncertainty. And so, you know, Vic is a good football coach, and he's a good man, and so you want someone like that in charge. And so that's basically what they're doing. They're just continuing to fulfill the terms of the contract that he signed. He'll be back. Don't think it was ever an issue. And they go on from there.
Adam, we got Adam Schefter joining us this morning. Adam, how do you think it's more likely the Broncos bring in a quarterback like an Andy Dalton to compete with Drew Lock, or that they actually try to go maybe the Matthew Stafford route and get a brand new starter in Denver?
Well, that'll be the story of the offseason and the most important storyline that surrounds the Broncos. And my basic guess would be that I think that they like Drew Lock, and I think that they believe he's got some ability, and they invested a second-round draft pick in him. So it's hard for me to see them going out and giving up, let's just say, a first-round draft pick for Matthew Stafford, paying him $30 million, making the financial commitment, the draft pick commitment that it would take to go get a guy like that. I think that if you're the Broncos, do I see them bringing in another guy to be there, to challenge and compete with Drew Lock? Yeah, that's certainly possible. But I don't think that they want to go and give up resources to go do that. So a guy like Andy Dalton is a free agent. It doesn't cost you anything other than the money to go sign him. A guy like Jameis Winston is a free agent. It doesn't cost you anything to sign him other than the money. And there are some quarterbacks in that scenario. To go make a huge commitment to go trade for a guy like Matthew Stafford or Sam Darnold, I just think that Denver's got too many question marks and too many holes to go do that right now. Now, saying that, if you think that Sam Darnold is the end-all, be-all, and you don't believe in Drew Lock, then go do that. Go make that happen. But from what I can gather, I think that they have some faith in Drew Lock. There are still questions to be answered. And so as long as that's the case, you want to give the guy a little bit of time. He's shown well at times, but hasn't been consistent enough. And so that leaves them in a spot where I think that you probably want to bring in another quarterback, but you don't want to have to do that at the expense of building your roster. That makes sense?
Yeah. So consensus is that Trevor Lawrence is going number one. Everyone knows that. What about Justin Fields? Where do you think he's going to fall?
I think Justin Fields will be these things are fluid and they change. My guess is he'll be a top 10 pick, but I don't think he'll be the second quarterback picked. Hmm. I think Zach Wilson's going to be the second quarterback picked when all is said and done, the BYU kid. And I think Justin Fields is going to go high because he's got tremendous ability, but I don't think it's going to be as high as Trevor Lawrence. I don't think it's going to be as high as Zach Wilson in the end. I think Justin Fields, if I had a guess today, would be the third quarterback picked, somewhere in the top 10. And again, these things are constantly changing and shifting as the draft process unfolds, and that's still, what, 4+ months away?
Yeah.
Yeah. And last one for me, Adam. We always, it's they call it, you know, the Monday after the season, some coaches are dismissed. This year, do you expect there to it kind of remain the same as it does in the past, turnover-wise? Maybe more coaches are retained because of the COVID thing? Or is it going to be more coaches are fired, would you anticipate?
Well, first of all, you have to understand, there already have been 3 head coaches fired in
right.
season 3.
Right.
Okay, Houston, Atlanta, Detroit. We'll get the Jets, that'll be 4, right? There's questions about what happens in Los Angeles. That's a potential 5th. I think Jacksonville, potential 6th. Now, is there another one? Maybe. You know, maybe. But usually, you know, look, the truth of the matter is, you go back, this average is about 6.8 per year. I just gave you 6 right there.
We're there.
If there's another one, there's 7. And there's you know, so it's between 6 and 7 almost every year, it seems like.
Any
and
surprise?
I don't think this year is any different considering we're already at 3.
Do you think there could be any surprise? Is there a name that you think might kind of be a surprise?
Well, there's always a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, I always say there's almost always a surprise. Almost always a surprise in every head coaching cycle. And if I knew who it was, it wouldn't be a surprise, right?
that's right. Adam, happy New Year. Again, New Year's Eve, you joined us Christmas Eve. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Guys, happy holidays, happy New Year, and Nate, congratulations on overcoming the curse of 14.
Thanks, Adam.
Awesome.
Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year, bud.
That was Adam Schefter. He joined us courtesy of your Colorado Mercedes-Benz dealers.